This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, it's Election Day in Pennsylvania. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., and we will be talking about politics, but not the stuff you'll see on your ballot today. Our state and federal lawmakers are still kind of mad at TikTok, and with a proposed ban now past the House, we're wondering what that'll mean for our favorite gubernatorial account. Elder Millennials, please hang with us. We are grading Governor Josh Shapiro's TikToks. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh is talking about.
Megan, there has been a TikTok sound that's been in my head for days, and I realize Governor Josh Shapiro made a sound with it, so now you have to watch.
I'm clicking. Oh, this is such a cheesy version of this meme. It's the I wouldn't tell you if I won the lottery, but there would be signs thing. And Shapiro says he already won the lottery by becoming Pennsylvania's governor.
Right. That's no fun. I've seen people say they'd spend their money on filling the fridge with pickles.
Yes.
Mine would be redoing my kitchen with all Le Creuset cookware. Hope I'm saying that right. He should have gone that route.
Wait, what color would you choose?
All of them. I won the lottery, Megan.
Fair. I am with producer Sophia Lowe, our resident TikTok teen.
Yes, good morning. To steal a line from CityCast Elizabeth Kama, I am a 24-year-old teenage girl. I just checked my screen time and TikTok is, in fact, my most used app.
Oh, my gosh. I have one, but only to lurk. The algorithm never quite got my For You page exactly right. What are your favorite TikTokers and trends?
I've been always, you know, into food TikToks, obviously, cat videos, of course. But lately, I've been getting a lot of Stardew Valley gaming content. It's a farm simulator game, and there's been a recent update. So people have been sharing, like, their new tips and tricks. And I'm jealous because the update has not come to the Switch yet.
Aw, you're going to have to show me the food ones later. Blanket statement. I'm a millennial, so I get most of my TikToks on Instagram, but you can always text them to me.
Will do.
But this is relevant because today we want to talk about this potential TikTok ban. Some lawmakers, including a few in Pennsylvania, depending on when you asked, it seems like opinions are really evolving on this. They've been saying that the app could be a national security issue because of concerns about how the parent company, ByteDance, which is based in China, how they could be using all of our personal data.
Yeah, lawmakers around the country have been alleging that sensitive user data could get shared with the Chinese government or that China could be spreading misinformation and propaganda within the app. But I'm a little confused, don't fully understand that perspective because TikTok CEO is Singaporean and the app is also banned in China.
And meanwhile, here in America, the House has passed a bill this past weekend that would ban TikTok unless that Chinese parent company sells it. It was tied to that huge foreign aid package.
Huge. $95 billion to go to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The Senate should be talking about this legislation this week. I've even seen reporting say that they could be voting on this today.
So we'll be watching for that. If you need to catch up on all this, Politico did a really great, straightforward explainer about what will happen if this passes. Basically, ByteDance would have 1 year to sell TikTok. But I think the company is definitely going to try to fight the ban. There's a free speech argument here. President Joe Biden has said that if the Senate passes it, he will then sign it into law. So I guess that means he's ready to let go of that TikTok POTUS account, one less social media platform to manage.
I wonder who does that. That's a really wild job.
What an incredible gig.
Of course, Pennsylvanians like me will be very sad without the fun videos, but there's another person here in the state who has a lot to lose, billionaire Jeff Yass.
Who we just talked about last week in our preview of today's primary election. One more reminder, polls are open 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Please go make your voices heard.
Yes, I voted first thing this morning in person. Anyway, Yas has been a big funder of Bhavani Patel's campaign against incumbent Congresswoman Summer Lee. She voted against the TikTok ban, by the way. But Yas has also had a really big chunk of investments in this whole TikTok thing. I saw an NBC article that said a trading firm he founded has a 15% stake in ByteDance, and Yas personally has a 7% share.
But given how big TikTok has gotten, I guess I'm not surprised that billionaires are invested in it. Has he said anything about the ban up to this point?
In that NBC story, he didn't want to make any comments, but I bet he's talking to powerful people behind the scenes, because the Philly Inquirer reported that Trump changed his mind on the ban because of Yas.
Whoa.
But all these efforts lawmakers are putting in to ban TikTok at the national level is really interesting to me, since a lot of those government officials have TikTok accounts. And similarly, there's been a discussion in Pennsylvania about banning TikTok on state phones and Wi-Fi networks. Even though Governor Josh Shapiro's team uses his all the time, the AP called him a, quote, prolific poster.
And actually, that's a good point. Remind me the difference between what's happening at the national level and then what Pennsylvania is trying to do with the app here.
Yeah, so there's a bill in Pennsylvania that would ban TikTok in the state, but only on state-owned devices and networks. So that would include places like school districts. But, you know, it wouldn't apply to me scrolling on TikTok in bed at home. But the reasoning from state lawmakers is similar to, you know, national officials. It also comes down to cybersecurity and, quote, protection of state-owned electronic devices and networks from applications controlled by foreign adversaries.
Whew.
So this one's a little different in that it doesn't target TikTok, I think, as specifically, like anything owned by a, quote, foreign adversary could apply.
Fair enough. So the Pennsylvania ban, is that one going to pass? Are people into it?
So friend of the pod, Stephen Caruso, wrote a great article about social media regulation efforts, and he explained that the first draft of the bill passed the Senate. The State House wanted to make some changes to it, though, so I guess we'll keep waiting to see what happens here in the future.
Love Stephen. He's always on top of stuff. Did he say, or have you seen, whether many other states have passed their own restrictions?
Yeah, in terms of other restrictions in other states, Forbes reported that in some form or another, 39 states have put some sort of restriction around accessing TikTok on government devices. I've also seen some headlines about colleges banning TikTok on their networks. And truly, if that happened at my university, I would have been devastated.
Oh my gosh, RIP all of the alumni offices and recruiters that do so much work around those channels. Good grief. What about Shapiro? What has he been saying about how this might play out in Pennsylvania?
Shapiro doesn't want to ban TikTok, so I'm glad he agrees with me personally. And Stephen included a quote from Shapiro's spokesperson, who said that Shapiro says, quote, there should be no wrong door for accessing state government, end quote. And I guess for some people, this is really an important way that they connect with elected officials through social media.
Well, you're young and hip. We'll use you as the case
Thank
study.
You.
Do you actually use social media for your news? I do a lot, but I also I'm a millennial. We're different.
I got a lot of news updates and read through headlines a lot on Twitter, now X, so I'm off the app now. I haven't really found a good news replacement. When I first got on TikTok, it was kind of my non-news social media,
but fair.
I've really liked Planet Money's TikToks, because that breaks down a lot of hard economics in very goofy ways. But I don't follow any politicians on TikTok, but I guess I could see how that also works as a venue for reaching young audiences and just, once again, breaking down things to fun music.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw that Shapiro had one, I followed him, but that has more to do with being just a nebby journalist than it does. I don't need any updates from him. I just want to see what the nerd dad in a capital is doing, you know?
That's totally fair. I had fun scrolling through his account, but I don't think I'd check it out regularly. And one thing I thought that was interesting from Stephen's article is that TikTok is already blocked on the governor's Wi-Fi network. I don't think you'd be able to access it from a laptop. So Governor Shapiro has one TikTok phone that he uses just exclusively for TikToks, and that's to help protect some of that data.
That sounds like some influencer shit, you know?
Well, maybe he could be an influencer after he's governor. We don't know what his career path could look like.
I think most of us have a very clear idea of what Shapiro's got in mind for his career path.
We'll see. But yeah, that phone doesn't connect to the state Wi-Fi network. So I guess maybe he's racking up a little data bill.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes you wonder how much this might actually affect day-to-day operations, at least for government employees, right? Like, they might use TikTok when they get off the clock, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I don't know if we want them using it on the clock. I don't know. I don't know how to feel. Hey, Pittsburgh. I want to tell you about a real Steel Town hero. Mary Cardwell Dawson was just the coolest. Not only was she the proprietess of that gorgeous Victorian mansion on Apple Street in Homewood, but inside it, she presided over the National Negro Opera Company. She founded guilds for other Black singers all over the nation, and she was a mentor for fellow opera singers from here to Washington, D.C. And lucky for you, our modern Pittsburgh Opera has a show celebrating her legacy. Get your tickets now for The Passion of Mary Cardwell Dawson. It's at the Byam Theater through May 5th. And don't be nervous if you're new to opera. The show is in English. It's just over an hour and features a little dialogue for folks to follow along. Tickets start at just $15, and there are all kinds of discounts and special offers for students, teachers, seniors, and veterans. Get your tickets now in our show notes for the Pittsburgh Opera. That's at pittsburghopera.org.
So we've been talking through all of this TikTok news, but I think we should watch more of Governor Shapiro's videos and review them.
Well, I've seen some of them, and he seems on trend. I will give him that. But I just think his whole demeanor is very much like cool, nerdy dad. Like, I just think that's like a shtick, a niche that he wears very well.
Well, at least it's cool and not just nerdy.
I mean, it can be both.
It can be both. Very true. A couple of his videos popped up on my For You page organically, and I was also really surprised by how he hit some trending sounds with, like, super good timing. Even though, yes, still a bit of a nerdy dad, it's kind of funny to see him bopping along to Beyonce in his office, especially when you see other people posting, like, super cool outfits for the concerts.
Well, let's look at this Beyonce one.
Yeah, this is definitely one of his more popular TikToks. It's got 1.7 million views. So this is text over Texas Hold'em, one of the songs on Beyonce's latest album. And it says protecting access to abortion, making it easier to find reproductive care, and defending real freedom right before.
This ain't Texas. This also hit my For You page. So it makes me wonder if it's just like it hit the algorithm or did they like sponsor it in some way? It's either way, it was impressive.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not a TikTok expert, so I called in a professional TikToker for a review and some thoughts on this TikTok video. He's a friend of mine, Chris Vasquez. He currently runs the Marshall Project's TikTok account, and he also used to work on the Washington Post TikTok account.
I loved the Washington Post under his era. I knew something had changed, but I did not know it was your friend.
Well, here's Chris' thoughts on Shapiro's videos.
On a very technical level, I think, like, the text is coming in a way that, like, isn't too rushed. It feels, like, readable. It's timed well with the music at the end. Like, the one lyric that's being isolated is the St. Texas. So, like, it's obviously, like, Shapiro throwing a little bit of shade, which viewers found fun.
And then I asked Chris what grade he'd give this video.
I would give this an A. I would give it an A, I think. Like, based on the numbers alone, I should give it an A because clearly it worked. Clearly it came to the algorithm.
He's right. Obviously, it hit. 1.7 million people aren't wrong.
But even with this A grade, Chris also had one small caveat for Shapiro's team.
One consideration, though, is, yeah, this looks like this isn't a remix or anything or something like that some random TikTok user posted. This is the original Beyonce song. And when I was scrolling back on Shapiro's profile, I did see that there were some sounds that, like, over time got muted because I guess he did not have the rights to use them on this account. So good luck to you, Governor Shapiro's comms team. But, like, you already reached 1.7 million views. So, I mean, it seems like you've done your job.
I'm curious whether anything about Shapiro's TikTok maybe feels different than other politicians. I guess I don't really follow many of them and probably won't unless there's, like, Pennsylvania news value to it.
Fair enough.
Person I've seen him compared to a little bit is AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, who, by the way, was in Pittsburgh this past weekend campaigning for Summer Lee.
Yeah, but no posts from AOC here in Pittsburgh, at least no TikTok videos that I saw.
Right.
But yeah, Chris actually mentioned that AOC uses her account to explain legislation, whereas Shapiro does have a pretty different approach to the app.
What I've noticed in Shapiro's TikToks is the conceit isn't, let me explain this. It's more, we want to celebrate the things that we've done in office as sort of campaign talking points almost, is the way it comes across to me, at least as a viewer. And so that makes it feel distinct from some other, you know, political TikToks that I've watched, and definitely from news TikToks I've watched, where the general goal or desired takeaway doesn't seem to be information. It seems to be this sort of rah-rah, go Shapiro kind of attitude.
Yeah, when you watch Shapiro's, especially back-to-back, like we did kind of getting ready for this, it seems to be more about upping his riz, you know? Like, he's not really pushing policy. It's just it's a grab bag of different styles. But I kind of like that they just throw spaghetti at the wall and see what hits. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, there's some really different videos out there. A couple of his videos do have him responding to some comments. Like, there's one where he agrees with someone who commented about thinking about raising the minimum wage. And he explains that the House has passed a $15 minimum wage bill and that Senate's sitting on that. So, you know, he does try to do a little bit of that connection with the voters, I think.
Yeah. And for a while last year, they were doing these like hosted videos where someone, not Shapiro, walks you through like whatever you missed in Pennsylvania news, except that it's like if the news were exclusively about where Shapiro was over that week, like it's very like from a perspective.
Yeah. I've also seen some with his staff where they're showing off Halloween costumes or talking about their favorite candy. There's a lot where he's just bopping along to music in his office. So Chris pointed that out too. Like, Shapiro's trying a lot of different things. Some of them don't look so much like TikTok videos. Like, some of his still photos ones, I think, kind of don't feel like they belong on the app. But, you know, maybe we'll see him stick to a style in the future. He's still pretty new in office.
Yeah, I mean, and to be clear, most of them are not doing the kind of traffic that Beyonce's does. Like, that one's 1.7 yes. million, but most of them seem to land closer to like 8,000, 10,000, 12,000, which is something, right? Like, that's those are a lot of eyeballs, but it's nothing like, you know, going viral.
Yeah, and there's some that are even less. So I had to ask Chris whether Shapiro had any flops, because the algorithm can be kind of funky on what gets popular. And I need to know if we can claim that our governor has a good account.
Honestly, I think it'd be hard for me to like really identify a flop, because the thing about this is that, like, you know, sometimes it does not look like Governor Shapiro belongs on TikTok. And, but that's also part of the appeal of the account, I think. Like, sometimes it's funny when a politician in his 50s gets on this little dancing app. It's funny when a 150-year-old newspaper does it, too. Like, sometimes that is the shtick, and sometimes that's part of the appeal, and I think they're gaming that effectively.
So I think this kind of speaks to how you think of Shapiro as, like, this nerd dad, Megan. That's kind of the appeal for this.
Amazing. Well, credit to you, Sophia, because we have been laughing about these TikToks in our office for a while, and you found a way to turn them into a podcast. Props.
This has been super fun, Megan. Probably one of my favorite shows to put together.
Well, we love doing this work and getting to talk about big national news, bringing it down to a state, even a local level. Plus, we get to make it fun and watch TikToks during the workday. If you value this kind of news coverage, please consider supporting us and becoming a member of CityCast Pittsburgh. It would help so much.
Yes, this would help us keep bringing the podcast and the newsletter to you every single day. Newsletter editor Francesca DeBecco also has amazing events and tips on how to best experience Pittsburgh. Plus, if you join by this Friday, you'll get a little email from me with some extra recommendations for the best goodies around the city. That's some extra stuff you won't find in our usual food show.
Yes, and that offer is only good through this Friday. So join, get some Sophia treats. It's going to be exciting in your inbox. We're not mailing them to you. But there are a lot of other perks like ad-free listening and VIP access to some future events, which we are actually working on now. We're really excited.
Plus, you could also get a shout out in the Hey Pittsburgh newsletter. We really do appreciate all our listeners and members, and we want to show our love. You can join at membership.citycast.fm/Pittsburgh.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. If you're liking the show, please tell someone, say nice things, make a TikTok about us. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you soon.
This will be fun. It's like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but for the governor's TikToks.